Dearly beloved in Christ, the epistle that is assigned for the feast of the dedication of the Basilica of our Savior says, "And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself with them shall be their God.'" And we are reminded of the almost incomprehensible truth that God dwells in the tabernacle, although in a hidden manner in the Holy Eucharist. Holy Communion is our daily bread. It is an intimate bond between the church militant and Christ. It is a gift that is not even allowed to the angels. We know that angels are all around the altar during the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but they will never receive our Lord in the way that we are able to. Although you may have heard that the Holy Eucharist is referred to as the bread of angels, this means that the angels are receiving Christ in the beatific vision, while we are receiving him in a hidden manner, veiled under the appearance of bread and wine. But the specific topic that I wanted to address is preparing for the reception of Holy Communion. A spiritual writer speaking on reception of the Holy Eucharist says, "Communion brings about a special union with the three divine persons of the Holy Trinity. Because of the indwelling of the three divine persons, the eternal Word does not take up his abode within our souls alone. He comes with the Father, forever generating his Son. He comes with the Holy Ghost, forever proceeding from the mutual embrace of the Father and the Son. If anyone love me, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and we will make our abode with him." Holy Communion is then an anticipation of heaven. And if we are possessed of a lively faith, we shall realize the truth contained in the words of the Imitation, that to be with Jesus is a sweet paradise. But imagine being the guardian angel of one who approaches the banquet feast of the Lord with mortal sin on their souls. The angels who can behold Christ unveiled. Would we not cry out with horror, "Stop, do not insult and defile your God like this"? And would we not do everything that we could to dissuade that person? Of course we would. It is a great sacrilege to receive the body and blood of Christ unworthily, and we all know this, but it must be especially distressing to a pure spirit who can see the truth of the Holy Sacrament to witness such an act. To receive the Holy Eucharist worthily, of course, we know we have to be in the state of grace and to have our communion fast in, but we ought also to have the proper external dispositions before we receive. And in order to, those dispositions include, first, making some immediate preparation by meditating on the august majesty of our Lord and King whom we are about to receive at Mass. Secondly, we should make remote preparation for the reception of the Holy Eucharist by striving to sanctify ourselves in our daily duty. And we sanctify ourselves in our day-to-day tasks when we fulfill those tasks, whether ordinary or unordinary, tasks for love of God, doing all that we do for love of God. We ought also to make remote and even immediate preparation by acts of humility that are especially powerful with God. Also, we ought to make remote and immediate preparation by asking God to increase our love and desire for receiving Holy Communion every day. But what do we need to focus on individually? What is really going to make a difference spiritually for us? Acts of humility, of course, before Almighty God are very pleasing to him. And by these simple acts, we recognize what we are and have a better grasp of where we stand in the sight of God as weak and forgetful and easily distracted human beings. God will undoubtedly hear the prayer of the humble. We can also prepare for communion outside of Mass by embracing those humiliations or those little humiliating moments as little gifts from God. But other than acts of humility and receiving those humiliations with resignation to the will of God, it's important to ask ourselves, what else can we work on? What else should we strive to improve to become more pleasing to Almighty God? We should focus on the area that we are particularly weak in. And if we find it hard, for example, to be patient throughout the day, let us practice that patience for love of God and sanctify ourselves throughout the day by that means, with that thought in mind that we are preparing for Holy Communion by this sacrifice, by embracing this sacrifice. If we find it hard to focus on our Lord during Mass, we should say a few Hail Marys, calling upon the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary before Mass or even during Mass, with the intention on focusing on the love of God. We have all day, all the rest of the day, to worry about the things in our life in the world. But the devil is very clever about getting us to worry about everything at the wrong time. So let us be resolved during Mass to give all our attention to the Mass, the liturgy, preparation for Holy Communion, our spiritual advancement. That quiet time that we spend in preparation is so short, but it is so important and can be made so pleasing in the sight of God that we would indeed be foolish to let those heavenly treasures slip through our hands while we occupy our minds with the passing and material things of this world. It may even come about that if you are distracted during Mass, you miss out on a grace, a special grace that God would have given you that you really need in your life. You may find the answer to a particular question or a difficulty that you have, or find that inspiration in grace that you would have otherwise missed had you been distracted and not focusing during Mass. And again, we receive our Lord in communion. Let us remember that when we do this, we are being transformed into Christ by receiving Him. We're not transforming Christ into us. Tanquary says that the union of Christ with those who receive Him in communion is truly a transformation. Little by little, he says, our thoughts, our ideas, convictions, judgments undergo a change. Instead of weighing the worth of things with the world's standards, we make the thoughts and views of Jesus Christ our own. We lovingly accept the maxims of the gospel. We continually ask ourselves the question, what would Jesus do if he were in my place? The same is true of the desires of our choices. Realizing that both self and the world are in the wrong, and that the truth abides only in Jesus, the eternal wisdom, we no longer desire anything but what he desires, that is, God's glory, our own salvation, and the salvation of our brethren. We will only what God wills. Not my will be done, but thine be done. And even when this holy will nails us to the cross, we accept it with all our heart, certain that it bids fair for our spiritual welfare and that of our fellows. Our heart, in like manner, gradually frees itself from its more or less conscious egotism, from its lower natural affections and attachments, that it may love God and souls in God more ardently, more generously, more passionately. Now we love no longer divine consolations, be they ever so sweet, but we love God himself. No longer the comfort of finding ourselves midst those that we love, but rather the good that we can do for them. We live now, but we live a more intense life, a life more supernatural, more divine than we did in the past. It is no longer self, the old Adam, that lives, thinks, and acts, but Jesus himself, his spirit that lives within us and vivifies our own. I live, now not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.